Hi, my name is Juliet, and I'm the host for this podcast. I'm expecting to be ordained as a rabbi by next year, and which is very exciting. And anyway, in Judaism, there's a specific portion or reading from the Torah or the Bible for every week of the year. And as we go through these readings week by week in order from the beginning of the Torah to the end, from the beginning of the Jewish year to the end, we analyze the stories and we comment on them. Of course, connecting them to real life, to contemporary life, is how these ancient stories come alive, which is one of my great passions as a rabbi. I hope you'll accompany me as I tell these stories of Torah, of my life, and the lives of others. And if you miss an episode, you can always go back and find it wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for coming on this ancient and contemporary journey with me. And though I give these podcasts freely, any donations would be very helpful and very much appreciated. If this is meaningful to you, if you listen often, anything at all. Not begging. Anyway, go to my website, lenegditamid.us, and you can find out about the other things that I offer, like spiritual direction and life cycle stuff. It's lenegditamid.us, LNEGDITAMID.us. That's lenegditamid, L as in Larry. And I got to come up with something better than that. N as in nincompoop, E, G, D as in don't, I, T, A, M as in Mary, I, D, dot us. So, on to today's episode, Scary Good Girls. I've been watching this show called Good Girls, and I'm obsessed with it. I can't stop. My husband finds it so scary, even though he's like a stereotypical man who just, he watches the goriest, most disgusting war movies and documentaries. I mean, he likes the real stuff. And I find it too difficult to watch. And he loves that stuff. But this show, which isn't even real, he finds too scary to watch. Like, he picks up his phone and I'm like, what are you doing? And he says, I can't watch this. This is too scary, which makes me laugh. I mean, it's just, and he asked me, are you going to put that in there? You should put that in there. And I was like, yeah, thanks for reminding me, because we need an extra laugh. Especially with what's going on in the Ukraine, and especially what's been going on for the past 2 years with the pandemic. I mean, really? Like, we needed another war? Like, we need a war? And then I just feel like I have no words for it. I don't even know what to say. Anything that I would say, others have said already. Everybody's upset, angry, incensed, frightened. All for good reason. And some people are inspired by those who are staying back and fighting, and I love hearing those stories. Civilians who are taking up arms to defend their country. Others are inspired by worldwide meetings of prayer for prayer. But instead of talking about this, I'm going to talk about, or so instead, I'm going to talk about good girls. So this show is amazing. And at first I discovered it a few months ago, like I saw it advertised, but I was like, this looks stupid and racist and whatever. Well, it's anything but. It's all at once very serious, very deep, very funny, ridiculous, unlikely, impossible. Yet somehow it's believable enough on certain levels that you get hooked. I mean, I did, totally. And I watched a bunch of the episodes, and then I said to my husband, you have to come and watch with this with me. And for a while he could, and now he's having a really hard time with it. Anyway, it keeps the heavy stuff just light enough that you can keep watching. It matches the reality and tragedy of life with the absurdity of people. and our idiosyncrasies. It's just crazy. But the most important thing is that above all, it calls out societal problems that make it impossible to live a, quote, normal and honest life for these people and for many people. Low-paying jobs. One works in a supermarket. She, you know, on minimum wage, she can barely survive. High mortgages, medical bills. There are two sisters. This is the premise of it. There are two sisters. They're white. Their best friend is black. They grew up together, like met as young teenagers. And the black woman has a daughter who has a kidney disease and she needs a kidney. And she goes to the office. It's crazy. She goes, they find a kidney for her. The child almost dies. They find a kidney for her and they have to pay, you know, they go to the office and they're like, yes. And with smiling faces in the hospital, that'll be, you know, $80,000. Your insurance will pay $20,000. And you've got to pay the rest. Will that be in cash? Will that be in a check? Like, can you just write us a check? Like, are you serious? You know? And so, like, these are the kinds of things that they're showing us. And basically, you know, no safety net. Here we are in the wealthiest country in the world. And people are trying to play by the rules. And right across, they're in Michigan, right across the border is it Michigan? Yeah, Detroit. Right across the border is Canada, where people have universal health care. And so here they are, these three unlikely women, two sisters who couldn't be more different from each other, and then their best friend. And they grew up like middle class, and they're, you know, good girls in desperate straits for different reasons. So they start their life of crime by robbing a grocery store where one of them works. And then they're sucked into this whole crime ring. They find out that, oh, the money that they stole, there's all this money in the safe and there's something going on there. And then they get deeper and deeper in and they both can't get out. And then they don't want to get out because of the money. Like they try really hard a few times, but they really need the money and the gang leader doesn't let them leave. So anyway, it gets really bloody and gross and disgusting, but it also somehow, it's like this really fine line. It manages to stay light enough that you laugh. It gets crazier and crazier, kind of like the world we're living in right now. So now for the Parsha. This week we finish reading the book of Exodus. It's a leap year. In Hebrew, it's called a pregnant year. And the month of Adar during a leap year is doubled up. And the double Parshas that we normally have are singled out. So the other thing is that Adar is the month of Purim. It's interesting that that's the month that's doubled up, right? More laughter. More, I don't know. And Purim is the holiday that tells and acts out the story of Esther and Mordechai and Haman and everything gets turned on its head and we're, quote, commanded to get drunk enough to not know our enemy from our friend. So thinking about good girls breaks most, though not all, stereotypes we live with as Americans. The nice white girls are criminals. The black woman and her family are educated, honest, not highly educated, but they're like working class educated. Honest, straight-laced under normal circumstances. Her husband is, he becomes a cop, and he's not a crooked cop. Not at first. The gang leaders, though they're Mexican and covered in tattoos, I feel like that's almost the only stereotype that they maintain. They're not sexually manipulative. Every time you think that they're going to want something from this beautiful woman. And they don't ask for it, you know, and they don't manipulate and they don't abuse her in that way. And the main gang leader, we end up seeing the inside of his house, and he's super sophisticated. He has really sophisticated taste in furniture. So it throws everything on its head, just like Purim does. And so the show goes, and there's more to it, obviously. You got to watch it. Anyway, so Pekudei is this week's Parsha, and it's a repetition of the construction of the tabernacle in all its detail. It's a finishing. It's a completion. It's the last Parsha of the book of Exodus. And the Parsha ends with God filling the space. I don't know if it's the tent of meeting, the tabernacle. It's kind of hard. It's really hard to get. Like, it's hard to understand. It's not written clearly. But anyway, God is filling this space, the tent of meeting, as, with his glory. And Moses can't enter the tent during that time. And it's not sure if it's because he's forbidden or is he literally unable. But so anyway, by day, a cloud, apparently God, settles over the tent, and by night, fire fills it. And there's no explanation as to why and what these mean. It's all up for our interpretation. And this will happen throughout their 40 years in the desert. As long as the cloud hovers over it, the Israelites know that they cannot move forward. And the lifting of the cloud signifies that it's time to move on. And this goes in cycles of years and months and who knows. I mean, it's a big thing to take the tabernacle down and put it back together again. So my question is, can we stand just one more thing? Another war, along with a pandemic? Can't we just move on beyond the horrors? It just feels like too much. Clouds covering by day, hovering over us, fire by night. I want to know, how do we move on? We, the good and many people of the United States of America, most people are good, along with the people of Ukraine and all people around the globe, even those who we think are horrible people because we disagree with them, most of those people are trying to do the right thing. Most of those people are good. And so I want to say most people are trying our hardest in our own individual and collective ways to do what we can to change the status quo, to stand up for and defend and preserve what needs defending and preserving, to put out the fires, to clear away the clouds, to see clearly what needs to be seen and to lay the foundations for a new world. The double month of Adar, pregnant with possibilities, along with the Shemitah year and this leap year, are supposed to offer us opportunities for newness. We can't see it clearly yet. We can't figure out why the fires all the time. And we don't know how our story ends. We know how the book of Exodus ends, but we don't know how our story ends. So in the meantime, like the story I heard of a Ukrainian woman laughing despite everything, we have to keep laughing. It's our resilience. And I say, Chazak, Chazak, Venit Chazek. Strong, strong. We must be strong for each other. And let us say, Amen.